I've always been a Doctor Who fan, since the early days of hiding behind the sofa at the Daleks in the sort of mid-60s. I love science fiction full stop, really. And so when I was asked to do it, especially an alien who's known for being so vicious and hostile, turning good, it's quite a nice part to play, to see that little character twist in them.
It shows how a single Centauran squadron began wiping out an entire people. The people of this forest. A genocide.
We don't know that word.
Well, you do now.
Doctor!
Stay away from me!
I think it's very funny, but I also think it's incredibly moving as well. How do you make up for your past? So there's quite a serious issue there. As well as it being, you know, fun, and you get the different parts, especially from Lops, who's an incredibly funny character. But there's something really sort of childlike about them in a way. I think that the final speech that Gaznak has about how can we make it better, how can we make up for what has gone before, it's really very moving. So yeah, it's a wonderful script.
I thought, I'll never get away with this. I'll never get away with the idea of a Centauran clone becoming female as he grows older. I checked with my partner, who is a big Doctor Who fan herself, and she just threw her hands in the air and said, "That's the best idea I've ever heard in my life." So I knew I had to go with it.
Obviously, there were. I'm going back years ago. I mean, I used to love, when I was a child, Andy Pandy and then later on the Clangers, and of course Blue Peter and stuff like that. So there's lots of things I remember from my Blue Peter days with John Noakes and all that. But I think the overriding thing I remember about Doctor Who was being fascinated by the magicalness of it. I think I loved Doctor Who and Star Trek at the same time, and I couldn't believe that people could actually disappear and get blown up in quarries and stuff like that. I believed everything. But the thing that the people that got me the worst, or the ones that got me the worst, not people, were the Daleks. They really, really scared me. They scare me like the angels do now.
Years and years ago, I worked with her on Wizards vs. Aliens when I was in my Hobgoblin suit, the Russell T. Davis television programme, and she was a witch. And it's one of those classic situations where I met her first in prosthetics, and then afterwards at the hotel, I sort of realised in my own sort of like little dazed world, having my dinner after a day in a rubber suit, that she was sitting on the next table to me, and I said, "Oh, hello, Josie." And of course, the look of blank incomprehension and a kind of like, "Oh no, someone wants an autograph," sort of flashed across her face for a moment before I said, "It's me, Dan. I've been working with you all day." Because, meeting people first in prosthetics is quite strange when sometimes then you meet them as a real human being. But yes, we were also in Good Omens together. And even though we weren't in similar scenes, we had a nice chat at the cast screening. So I owe her a few drinks from that. And also we have lots of friends in common through the world of improvisation. Because obviously she's been part of the Comedy Store Players, the Whose Line Is It Anyway sort of crew for many, many years. And I know some of those guys as well from having made stuff up on stage with them too. So it's, she's great fun. Very sort of like a nice lady to work with and to socialise with too.
I think I already lived in pretty much a very good fantasy world. I come from a beautiful, happy, working class family. Nobody has any sort of theatre history and didn't even go to the theatre. But my mum said as soon as I could talk, I was pretending to be other people, along with my imaginary friend. She didn't realise I had an imaginary friend until she worked out what I was doing, because every morning I would get up and the front door, which was really the side door onto the backyard, I would open it and then shut it again and then go and have my breakfast. And they finally realised I was letting my friend in. The poor creature obviously lived outside in the garden. And so I already lived in a fantasy town, but there's something about fantasy and science fiction that just really appeals to me. I don't know whether it's escapism or what. I just find those kind of flights of fancy to be wonderful. And I always wanted to be a Doctor Who assistant. But, you know, we can still dream. I think I said something silly on Twitter about being the new Doctor Who assistant, maybe an old-time music hall woman from the past that he's picked up on his way. So this is wonderful to be doing this.
It's been quite an unusual studio day because this is the first time we haven't had the full cast in because of actor availability. So we've had actors reading in, we've had Sam Stafford reading in for Dan Starkey and doing a fantastic job. But what it means is, although it's the same length of script as we would normally have, the day is shorter, for starters, because the only person I have to give direction to is Chris. And of course, Chris needs very little direction. So it's just the odd tweak here and there, and obviously the terrible challenge of saying the word Sontaran correctly. That's taken up more time than anything today. But for Chris, I think just to keep going and to keep the energy going is always beneficial. His energy is so huge and so committed, and you know, the charisma that he brings to this role is so fearsome, really. It's quite nice not to have to break that. It's good to get a flow on. So if it's just about Chris delivering the lines, it's been a very free-flowing day in that way.
I'm not supposed to say this, but this is my favourite. I love this script. The idea of the evilest creature in the galaxy having a offshoot, which is the most peaceful and innocent and loving. And the Doctor and Chris Eccleston finds that immensely moving and funny.
Yeah, we've been laughing a lot. We've been laughing like crazy in the control room, like really grinning all day because the comedy in it is so well paced. The comedy rhythm is exceptional. Yeah, it's been brilliant fun to listen to.
I'm Pooja Shah and I'm playing Navark Alhanin.
I'm Lily Bevan and I'm playing Antonov Floris.
This war has been going on for centuries and it won't end until every last Sontaran is eliminated.
But you must be a details kind of person. Mind if I share a few with you?
I thought the script was brilliant. I could visualise everything, so I'm really excited to see what it sort of sounds like when it's all come together with the special effects and everything. So it's exciting. I think it's really well written and it's the characters are fun.
Yeah, well, you definitely have a natural authority. So it was nice to be your worried sidekick. I feel like after lockdown, worry isn't something that you have to work very hard to come up with. So it was nice to be able to just be worried as a character. I've been in Doctor Who, the TV series, and that was quite a long time ago and a great experience. So it was just really fun to rejoin. At the read-through, David Tennant was the Doctor, and he went like 1,000% for the read-through. We were all around a table and he was standing up, waving his arms, yelling. And I was quite recently out of drama school and I was just so impressed and thought it was really funny. Also, on his trailer, the sign said Mr. Twinkletoes, which I thought was intriguing.
Do you know what? I'll be honest, it's quite funny listening to what Lily just said, because I think the authority and the strictness, I'm picturing my two small children, because I think I learnt how to have the authority and be firm with my actions and my directions from being with them intensely for the last 18 months while COVID has hit this world. But I think she's got little moments where she softens very slightly when she starts to open up and trust a little more. And I like that there was a couple of human qualities in her, but for the most part, she's pretty fierce and knows what she wants and is quite stubborn. Quite similar to me, I think.
This far out in the sticks, they were probably fighting the Rutans.
As for that second count, the one that really gave their presence away, you're a creature of intelligence and empathy. I invite you to work that out for yourself in the 1 hour you have left.